Thank you for the privilege to gather. Thank you for Aisha that she has to show. Thank you for ears that hear. Thank you for receptive hearts. Thank you for light that is in your word that lights up and floods every mind and every heart. Thank you for illumination. Thank you for understanding. We receive an atmosphere of faith and power. And we thank you because we're built and developed thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, you can have a seat. Glory be to God. All right, we'll just briefly round up on the subject on honor that we've been looking at. So just briefly coast through John chapter 4 and verse 44. Jesus testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Okay? Jesus himself testified that a man hath no honor, that a prophet, beg your pardon, had no honor in his own country. Of course, a prophet will represent an inspired speaker. And of course, this is Bible. So God is the one that inspires this speaker. So you can say one divinely inspired or God inspired to speak. You say such a one had no honor in his own country. Let's look at the other portions. Of course, Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13 and verse 57. It says, and they were offended in him because, or rather, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Okay? Remember, we looked at that statement to see double negative. Okay? To mean that a prophet is with honor in other places or elsewhere except in his own country and in his own house. Of course, if you read from verse 53, you'll see the things that transpired, and you see those who claim to know Jesus, okay, in the flesh. They could tell who his father was, naturally, and his mother, and his siblings, both brothers and sisters. So, because of what they knew naturally, they despised, okay, the office in which he stood or who he was as one who spoke as the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Okay? So, it's clearer here to see that the knowledge of Jesus in the flesh, or let's just say the knowledge of a prophet in the flesh, causes men to dishonor him. Okay, those who could not tell his parents or his siblings and his house received him as a prophet, but those who had history of his background and his family despised him and his message. Of course, in Mark chapter 6 and verse 4, you see the same rendering, Mark 6 and 4. It says, Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. In Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4 from verse 21, you see Luke's version of this. Of course, Jesus was in the synagogue and he had read Isaiah, is it 60 or 61 now? 61, okay? And then he closed the book and said in 21, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And then all bearing witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is this not Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And you can probably read on till verse 27. Hallelujah. Okay? And we've been able to see what honor is. That's the Greek word time, T-I-M-E, that refers to value, okay, or esteem, or reverence. Now, the crux of honor is the ability for a man to recognize spiritual things amongst men. Now, amongst men, of course, we've gone through all of this, will mean that the things of God are found amongst men. Okay? Therefore, to participate or to receive from God will be to receive from a man sent from God to bless. So, you will not allow prior information or instant information of his humanity, whether his frailty or his weakness or his flaws or faults, to affect how you recognize spiritual things and receive from God. You will not allow your knowledge of that person in the flesh to affect how you recognize and receive from God, despite flaws, human frailty, weaknesses, and such the likes. Hope that makes sense. So, dishonor will then be to allow those human factors to deprive you of receiving or participating in spiritual things. So Jesus is saying here that one sent of God to speak to the people is usually despised in his own country and in his own house. Because those are people who know him according to the flesh. You know, in Romans 1, Paul says, the Son is declared to be the Son of... let me go there. From verse 2, Romans 1, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Okay? So, according to Jesus here in John 4, those who knew him according to the flesh, those who knew him as the seed of David, well, maybe even not, because he said the seed of David, that's genealogy in scripture. Okay, which should bring about honor. Amen. Come on, are you there? Okay. And then, of course, in 2 Corinthians 5, you see Paul say, known him in the flesh. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And then he goes on to say 17, therefore every man being Christ is a new creature, and so on and so forth. Okay, so when there's information in the flesh or according to the flesh that allows you to despise a man sent of God to bless spiritually, that is dishonor. That is to fail to value, esteem, revere such a one. And then, of course, we've been able to see that honor ought to be demonstrated. It ought to be visible via words and actions. But it begins from the heart. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, Isaiah 29, 13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Okay? This is not a commendation. This is to say, they dishonor me. Why? Because they honored with their mouth and their lips, but their heart was far removed. So, honor that is demonstrated that does not begin from the heart is dishonor. As man functions, as written in Romans 10:10, with the heart man believes and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, that is, a man's words aligns with what he believes in his heart. Okay? So is a host of other things. I mean, we're able to see that confession may not just only have to do with words or spoken words. It may also be action, because it is to affirm what you believe in your heart. So with honor, it is not, yes, it ought to be visible in words and actions, but those words and actions must align with what you believe in your heart or the state of your heart. So, honor must not remain in the heart. It must be expressed. Honor that is expressed and doesn't begin from the heart is dishonor. Hope that's clear. Okay. So, hypocrisy in honor is dishonor. That is, when you... in honor are found an hypocrite, then you are in dishonor. Because hypocrisy in honor will be to express honor whilst you dishonor in the heart. What the person will say, what men will say, what society will say, is the reason you honor, but in the heart, you know, as we have seen in Isaiah chapter 4, 29 verse 13. So therefore, the crux of honor is to always place value on spiritual things. Ah, myself, pastor. We graduated from one university in one corner of somewhere. You know, it didn't even... Don't let me mention grades. Amen. And he's not employed. You know, it's true where, you know, the shoe just naturally praises God. And, you know, there's almost no soul at the back. You know, it's just a pauper. All of those things must never get into your head so that you begin to despise that is actually yourself, pastor. Does that make sense? That duty that he offers to you spiritually, the one who helps you to grow in the word and in the things of the spirit, you must place value on that and never despise that person despite the information that you have in the flesh. Does that make sense? So, placing value on spiritual things in men is honor. Of course, we also said you can, to the degree to which you honor, is to the degree you know what honor is. And it is a function of knowledge. Since we have said in the heart and in the mouth and actions, words are sown in your heart. Okay? So when words are sown in your heart, you are found expressing in words and actions what you have received in your heart. So it's important to note and be conscious of this very fact that the things of God are not in the air. They are found in men. So the way we receive those things is to honor the men, is to honor the vessels. Hallelujah. So God's way is always honor. There are no circumstances or reasons good enough to dishonor. You have an obligation to honor at all times. So it doesn't matter what people try to do to you, legitimate or illegitimate. You have the obligation to honor. The same way you have the obligation in Christ to forgive people. Ephesians 4 and 32. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you, for Christ's sake. So it won't be that when they do not so bad things to me, yes, I forgive. I say, okay, I forgive you, we move on. But when it's really terrible, I say, ah! You are not worthy of my forgiveness. No, you are not doing God's word. You have the obligation to forgive. You see people who probably have been abused earlier in life, who maybe relatives or whose parents have disappointed them early in life. Maybe daddy walked away and never looked back, and you suffered and suffered. And now you've grown up, you've graduated, you're making money, you're beginning to get over all of those things. And then you say, how's your dad? You say, I don't have a daddy. Ah, is he dead? No. He's alive? Yes. Where? It's somewhere I don't want to know. Ah! Well, as you talk to me, I don't know. Why? Did something really... Ah, you should call him and forgive him. Like, for what? Do you know what he did? Do you know what you did? Before you freely receive blood to wash you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's not that certain things people will do may not be painful, but you have an obligation in Christ to forgive. Hallelujah. It will be painful, but you forgive. Hallelujah. Do I need to add and forget? Ah, I forgive you, but... So God's way is honor. You have that obligation to honor at all times. Never put yourself in a position where you despise people you ought to honor. So honor is a deliberate act in the Church of Jesus. We value spiritual things. We saw in 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, Galatians 6, 6, Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, 1 Corinthians 9 and 11, to see that those who labor over us, especially in doctrine, they are worthy of honor. In 1 Timothy 5, it even says, they are counted worthy of double honor. That is, you deem them fit to receive double honor. At times, this is a very good sermon to teach on campus. Amen. I mean, your matric number is 111222. And then the other one, matric number 111223. And you get to church, just have that handover service, And they just say, the next president is so and so. Say, ah, him. When we write exam, we sit beside each other. There are times I see him chewing barrel. Ah, you know, some people find it very difficult. Just hand over to him as the president, and you can't just change. Just Emmanuel Alpha, Pastor Emmanuel, Pastor. Okay? Because of the information we have of people, naturally or in the flesh, we must never despise their role towards us in spiritual things. And at times, it may not even be towards us. Like I usually say, I don't think I've said it in this teaching, when you only honor those who minister to you, and dishonor those who minister to others, you don't know what honor is. Simple example. You despise another person's pastor, but you only honor your own pastor. I mean, what I said now may even apply. At work, that's your colleague. Just started an assembly. The pastor's 5.5 sins. And then you look at him and say, hey, pastor, power with you. You know, let's wait till your congregation is 500 members or 1,000. They will begin to accord you the respect. No. Okay? As one who is well taught, you must recognize people. Okay? For their work's sake, honor them. I don't mean you then make them your own pastor. But give them that due honor and regard. Does that make sense? So, when you are given to dishonor, you are given room to the works of the flesh. It's a walk in the flesh. When you despise what God says you should esteem. So like we said, this is still all recap. Amen. Honor is how we receive from God. If God shows up in all of his glory, it will be very easy to honor. Imagine you're just walking on the street one day and suddenly there's a rushing mighty wind. And as you just look up, you see someone in white just descending. And as he descends, it becomes brighter, brighter. At a point you can't see again. And then you are there and he says, my son. Even if it's the devil, you say, yes, Lord. You get the point? I mean, look at Revelation 19. John caught up in the vision, saw that being, and then he came, and then he just bowed and worshiped. And said, hey, worship not. I'm of thy fellow servant. Okay? Of thy brethren. Worship God. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Alright? So the key thing about honor is to value spiritual things in men or amongst men. Because there's tendency to despise, therefore you will choose honor so that you can, one, do God's word, two, you can receive from God, three, you can participate in spiritual things. I just try to bring in all kinds of scenarios. So when it comes to honor, don't say God looks at the heart. Make it visible. Maybe when it's dishonor, you can quote that. Okay? Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? Does it make sense? When it comes to honor, don't say God looks at the heart. Failing to demonstrate or express honor and say, God looks at the heart, therefore what I think in my heart is what matters. Must be visible. Of course, dishonor will be either to express what how much you despise someone or something, or to express regard but fail to regard in the heart. So don't say God looks at the heart, therefore it doesn't matter what I do physically or naturally. No. Okay? Honor must be found in your words and actions. So honor God, honor Jesus as God. Honor his apostles, whom the Lord chose to establish the Christian doctrine for us. Honor the message. Honor believers. Honor your pastors. Honor all men. What the Bible says. Honor spiritual things. Honor times of prayer, times of fellowship with God, whether privately or congregationally. Honor the gathering of the saints. Honor times of Bible teaching. We've talked about honoring the message. Now, this is honoring the time or the period or the act of teaching the message. Honor the things of the Spirit. Honor spirituals. Things that relate to or belong to God. Be a man of honor. Say, I choose to be a man of honor. And like we also saw in Bible, we can also add so that we don't forget, we ought to honor those in authority over us. Leaders in government or political positions, our bosses, those whom we work for, and the likes. Honor father and mother. And honor as well for those who are more advanced in age over us, or those who are older. Let's use one word. Those who are older than us. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, you see where Paul says to the pastor of the churches at Ephesus, whom Paul himself sent to Ephesus, that he charged some that they teach no other doctrine. So he sent him there as the authority to ensure that sound doctrine is upheld, and to refuse and ward off contrary teachings, or those that teach differently. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says to this man, the pastor of the church, he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. And then it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Okay? It talks to a young man and he says, treat people well. Okay? Those who are old, respect them. The office of a pastor doesn't give the right or issue license to disrespect. Regard. Okay? And I hope you know when I say pastor, I'm not referring to the big office of, okay? If you have 3 disciples that you labor over regularly, you know you pastor them. I hope you know. Ah. Am I in the right church? Don't tempt me before we start saying, who are we? Stamp your feet. Ha, ha, he, we are. Okay. So, dishonor can be a product of ignorance, and many times it is as a result of offenses and strife. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, sure you know what transpired earlier. Jesus had asked his disciples, who the men say that I am, the Son of Man am. I, the Son of Man am. So Peter had responded, Jesus had commended, and then he had said that, okay, I'll suffer many things in the hands of the scribes and Pharisees on the third day, and then I'll be crucified on the third day, I'll be killed, rather, and be raised again the third day. And then Peter rebuked him. And then Jesus' response is where we're going in verse 23. He said to Peter, after Peter rebuked him and said, be far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. And that's not to call Peter Satan, but the words of Peter's mouth, being contrary to the truth of God's word, is why Jesus said Satan. that which opposes truth. Jesus then said, thou art an offense unto me, for thou serverest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So, offense here is simply to present that which is contrary to truth. Now, when you present that, when you say such words, either the faint-hearted or the one who is mature and all of that, you are creating a scenario where words contrary to truth are heard, can be sown in the heart, and will stand against truth. Are you there? So that's basically what offense is. When you allow that which is contrary to truth to fill your heart, or to create an occasion to fill your heart. In Matthew 11, verse 6, John the Baptist has sent his disciples to Jesus and says, are you the one to come, or do we expect another? And then Jesus healed, opened blind eyes, caused the lame to walk, cleansed lepers, and so on and so forth. And then he said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. This is John the Baptist, who had received from God who the Messiah is, and had shown the Messiah to Israel, and expected the Messiah to fulfill what God had promised to Israel. They expected what God had promised through the Messiah, okay, that he himself had shown to Israel, but he got to a point that he felt the Messiah should be doing his job by rescuing me now, but let's find out. So he doubted. Long story short. So Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. In other words, John allowed other things to fill his heart because of what he expected, or how he expected Jesus to be a Messiah to him. So offense is simply when you fail to recognize truth. Or when you expose yourself to that which is contrary to truth at the expense of truth itself. So in Matthew 16:23 here, it's the word scandalon. It refers to a snare, S-N-A-R-E, or a stumbling. It could also be when you create an occasion to fall or to stumble. Quickly, in Matthew 13 and 41, you see the word scandalon there. When Jesus says the Son of Man shall suffer his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Okay? That's clear. In Matthew 18, verse 7, see the word used twice there, offenses. I think I need to run now. In Luke 17, 1, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. In Romans chapter 9 and 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense. Okay? A rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be afraid. Of course, that's in a way speaking of unbelief. Contrary to truth. Accepting contrary to truth. Are you there? In Romans 11 and verse 9. Again, stumbling block. In chapter 14 verse 13. An occasion to fall, scandalon. In Romans 16 and 17, offenses. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 23, when it says, unto the Jews a stumbling block. In Galatians 5 and 11, now, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. In 1 Peter 2 and 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. In 1 John 2 and 10, occasion of stumbling in him. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. Revelation 2 and 14, translated stumbling block. And of course, in Matthew 11 and 6, we see the word scandalizo used. A word derived from scandalon. S-K-O-S-K-A-N. This is what that means, to entrap. Okay? Or to stumble. So, it could imply to entice to sin. Quickly, in Romans 14 and 21, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Of course, you know, in Romans 14, Paul discussing what a brother doesn't want to do, or what will cause a brother to sin, avoid, and all of that, even if it's meat. Okay? So, to offend such a one will be to entice, to give the person room to do contrary to what he believes, or contrary to laid down standard and therefore sin. Are you there? Okay, I think I'll just hold it there. That offenses, as you see in Bible, is to be provided an opportunity to fall or sin. I'm not in any way referring to loss of salvation, but to do contrary to truth. So, rather than do God's word, when we focus on the wrongdoings of others, or the inconsistencies, or what have you, offense arises. And it is important that we deal with offenses. Every time we are found in such position, don't be someone who gets offended too easily. Well, maybe we may forgive that in the sense that, well, I wasn't in any way saying don't get offended at all. Alright? But more importantly, don't be someone who, when offended, refuses to reconcile. Okay? That means you dwell on the wrongdoing, whatever was done, whatever was said to you, whatever position you found yourself, whatever occasion. Don't be one who creates offenses. Don't be one who gets easily offended. Now, I have not said never get offended. Perhaps in some instances, you may need to develop that thick skin. Not to be quick to always find, okay, somebody has done wrong, so it is time to react. Now, when it comes to people that you ought to honor, who are you to dishonor in the first place? Okay? But let's speak within the confines of those who have oversight over you and believers within the church. Okay? Don't be quick to allow offenses in your heart. Always deal with them quickly. And the way to do that is to easily forgive. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. When you forgive, in some situations, it makes you feel like you are acting weak. But it is always strength when you act on God's word. Are you there? So, when you allow offense or offenses, you will allow unforgiveness. When you allow that, you will allow dishonor. honor will be difficult in such positions. When you are offended at someone and you can say it out or act it out, you are already on the path of dishonor. The second is strife, quickly. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 and verse 13. It says, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Okay? Give me a minute. Of course, strife there refers to quarrel. Okay? To be in a position where you create a divide or differences, where you capitalize. It's more like you literally, things are together, you literally widen them. You put a gap. That is strife. And that is what it does. In Romans 1 and 29, it is translated debate. That's the Greek word eris. E-R-I-S. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 11, it is translated contentions. Of course, in 1 Peter 3, 1 Corinthians, beg your pardon. Hope I didn't say 1 Peter earlier. 1 Corinthians 1 and 11, 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. Where Paul had said, I could not speak to you unto the spiritual troubles of the carnal, even unto the babies in Christ. Okay? Of course, it's translated strife. He says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife. Are you there? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and 20, it's translated as debates. In Galatians 5:20, works of the flesh, which are these, is translated as variance. In Philippians 1 and 15, you see the word strife there. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. 1 Timothy 6 and 4. You see strife there. And Titus chapter 3 and 9, contentions. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 18, where are you? For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Okay? Divisions there can be schisms. And it's from the Greek word schisma. Okay? This refers to a split or a gap. Matthew 9:16 is translated rent. So, tear a garment. Rent a garment. Not pay money to use it. In Mark 2:21, of course, you have rent. In John 7:43, there was a division among the people because of him. John 9:16 refers to a division. And also in chapter 10:19, a division. 1 Corinthians 1:10. And that there be no divisions among you. And of course, in 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body. When Paul discussed a pneumaticus, talked about the body, members, different functions, but together towards one goal, one body. Okay? So a body is because members come together to walk in one direction. So when there are schisms in the body, that means some members walk contrary to the goal of the body. So strife is to allow persons, events, actions make you do contrary to truth or make you take a position that is contrary to the truth of God's word. So when a man is in strife, he has allowed his heart to see himself apart from the gathering, to see himself apart as one who is allowed to do contrary to truth, allowed to disobey, allowed to be rebellious, and such like. Many times, like we've said before, offenses and strife is the root of dishonor. It's hard to be offended in a fellow brother and honor the brother. It's hard, difficult to create a divide knowing that you are members of the body of Christ. That is, you both belong to God, bought with same price, worth the blood of Jesus, baptized into one body. Strife makes you to not recognize that, rather create a divide between you two or more, and feel is okay. So whether there are genuine reasons or legitimate reasons, refuse strife. Hallelujah. You are my brother, you are my sister. That must be the song at all times. I will do God's word. That must be the song at all times. So don't give room to the flesh. Don't, because of the evil people did to you, allow offenses and strife and thereby dishonor. Hallelujah. So constantly, consistently be a man of honor. Lastly, I won't be able to go through this one, but I'll just mention it again, and I think we'll bury it there. Disorder. Order is when there is a prescribed arrangement to do things, and we conform to that arrangement. God's word says, do this, do that, go this way, go that way, and we conform to it. That's walking in order. Disorder is to break ranks, step out of bounds. Disorder is to not follow the prescribed arrangement. That is, the way God's word says we should do things. Walking contrary to it or doing contrary is disorder. Many times disorder creates room to dishonor. Are you there? So don't say, I want to honor and disregard all these other things. You want to dishonor. Don't say, I want to honor, I choose to be a man of honor, and you allow offenses easily. Someone does something, you carry it in your heart for 1 year. One full year. Okay? That means you don't want to be a man of honor. So one who wants to be a man of honor will check these things. Will be one who easily forgives others. Will be one who gets rid of offenses. It doesn't allow it to stay in his heart. Yeah, I know that was bad, that was evil, but I will do the word of God. Who refuses to stay in strife. And of course, who embraces orderliness. Do as you are told. Do as God's word has said. This is the way we are able to maintain a heart of honor. Many times when you find people badly behaved in assemblies, dishonor is well allowed and permitted in their hearts. Okay? Usually dishonor. You see people in disorder. I'm not trying to create absolute statements. I'm talking within what we are saying. Okay? So, I guess I'll leave it there. Be a man of honor. Hallelujah. And watch out for indices. Like I said earlier, it doesn't make any sense that you allow offenses easily. You walk in strife. And then you say you are a man of honor. It's impossible. Okay? So choose to be a man of honor. At all times. In all circumstances. Be an honorable man. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I'm not giving you room to be stubborn. Okay? Be a man of honor. Honor spiritual things. Value. Esteem. That is esteem of the highest degree according to spiritual things. Value your brother and your sister. Don't be one who will, because of money, despise your fellow brother and sister in Christ and honor a temple of idols. I'm not saying a temple of idols ought to be dishonored. Of course, in some sense, okay, that is, where it concerns things that be of eternal value, there's no value in one who has refused life in Christ. None of that. But honor is due to fellow believers in Christ. Hallelujah. You know what certain gatherings do where those who labor in doctrine, those who ought to be revered or recognized, they refuse to honor them. Maybe they have a system where they honor people by putting them at the front seat. I mean, that's normal in whatever gatherings, whether spiritual or secular. You know, but when you find an unbeliever show up because he's wealthy, they then, because of wealth, honor such a one. You know, that act is dishonor to the gathering, to the saints, to the Lord. Hallelujah. So, honor. Is that all right? At all times, regard spiritual things. Regard men, especially them who minister to you spiritual things.